Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is Andrew Warner. And so Andrew, he's an entrepreneur and the host of the hit startup podcast called Mixergy. I've been a guest on there one time back in 2020. Great episode. And on that show, he uncovers secrets of the world's best founders. Has interviewed over 2,000 people on 2,000 plus episodes, everyone from Barbara Corcoran to Gary Vee to the founders of Airbnb. He's the author of the new book. It's called Stop Asking Questions. Great titles, great subtitle, great cover, really good looking book. But I will say, you know, if there was ever a time to be intimidated about an interview, it would be interviewing the guy who's, you know, kind of the godfather of one of the most successful podcasts of all time, and of the author of a book called Stop Asking Questions.
And all you're going to do is ask me questions.
A fun conversation. Andrew, great to have you here, man.
Thanks. You know what I've got to learn as a new author? Have the book around. I have your Self-Publishing School collection here on my desk. I didn't bring my book, and it's just like right in the other room. You've got to always keep it handy. I admire when authors keep it handy.
It's a new thing, man. This is obviously a new book I just published in December, but I realized the same thing. I'm doing all these podcasting reasons like, all right, now on my desk all the time so I can pull it in.
I went to a conference where I was asked about the book, and I was smart enough to have brought it with me to the conference, and it does help to have it up on stage, you know?
Yes. And one thing I'll say, just as even as we're getting into this, I learned this from now, Hal Elrod, good friend of mine and good friend of SBS, and also, I mean, local Austin resident for both of us. But I saw he always had books in his car. And so it's like we went out to breakfast or lunch or something, and he got talking with the server, said, hey, let me run, grab you a book. And I just noticed like he always has books and he always gives them away. And it's just like this ambassador.
What's the point of that? Why do you think it's helpful to give? For me, here's why I'm enjoying it. Partially, it's because so much of what I've done, every single thing that I've done my whole life professionally has been intangible. We did online greeting cards as a company right out of school. Yeah. We did email newsletters. I've done, as you mentioned, 2,000 interviews. There's not a thing I could show you. I really admire when someone says, I make boots here in Austin. Yes. And then they show you the boots on their feet or on someone else's feet. Or I was standing at the line yesterday to get a burrito with my kids. And the person in front of us had a Hustle t-shirt, right? Sam Parks thing. So there's a tangibleness to it. And I love that. And with a book, you get a tangible experience for a set of thoughts that are the most intangible things that exist. But why do you think it helps that Hal is handing out the server the book? What's the point?
I feel like it's grassroots marketing, and it's been, so when, I mean, there, I think there is a lot of intangible stuff, right? And so I think this grassroots marketing of like building up is, it's adding value, grassroots marketing. I think it's also, one thing that's really important to me is become more important is building local community. And so I think it's like local in person. I made a thing. Here's a thing. And I've really learned from, I mean, my girlfriend does in-home IV drips for people as she's a nurse. And I kind of channeled my inner Hal Elrod and said, hey, I'm going to send you a few copies of this book. It's pretty high end clientele. And I said, hey, anytime, because she's kept saying like, hey, oh, I told them about Self-Publishing School. They're I wrote a book. I want to write. I said, here's 5-10 copies of this book. Whenever someone says that, just say, hey, he wants you to have a copy. And sure enough, just 2 days ago, one of those people signed up for Self-Publishing School and paid a lot of money of like our highest end thing off of just an offhanded book. Right. And so for me, it's the business reasons too, but I don't know. I've also, one thing I've started doing lately is going to, you know, meetups or dinners or whatever, and just bringing a backpack full of books and giving them to everyone. And it just sparks conversation. Like it's interesting how many conversations it sparks. And
you know what? I feel like what you and Hal have going for you is that it's also, you've written about a topic that people care about. For Hal, it's, I don't think there are many people in the world who don't want to get up earlier and have a better start to their day. It's a pretty universal thing. For you, there are a lot of people like me for most of my life who in the back of our heads were dreaming of writing a book. And the ability to do it seems so mysteriously far that for you to just say, here, take it. It's almost if they're not at the right stage, you're going to keep it around knowing that at some point they're going to get there. And if they don't even get there to write, to read the book, someone in their lives will, or they'll just come in and work with you. And in another way, it also is better than a business card. We now are signaled to people that you're the guy to talk to about that. All right, I get it. Yes. So I'm going to do it. You got to teach me more stuff. As like a new author, I'm super freaking excited to have done this. I feel actually it's not excited. It's fulfilled. I don't want to just say excited, excited. There's a sense of fulfillment for saying there's a thing that I know that I now know deeper because of this, but I care about and I stand for. And I got to have condensed it, to have written it, to have let it live on past me. My kids are going to read it. Interviewers 100 years from now will read this and see that the ideas are still relevant. And that's very exciting for me.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Which, by the way, shout out. I just realized as I'm looking here and a few people watching the YouTube version, my mic and setup is because of you. I'm like, oh, he's got the same mic. And I'm like, oh, hold up. I remember asking you what's your setup and then telling my assistant, buy all this stuff. So thanks for the mic recommendation. But why did you decide to write this book? How does it fit in with your goals, with your business? What was the why behind this book?
You know what? This was one thing that I sat down and said, I'm not going to think about how it fits in with my goals. There wasn't this idea that this was going to be an intro product that would then get somebody to understand that I've done interviews and then sign up for my agency or my software. And that's frankly unfortunate, but it might have also been the thing that my soul needed at the time. I've done over 2,000 interviews, and in every interview, all I do is talk about other people and their experiences and what they learned. And I realized that a lot of them afterwards, like you came to me and you said, what microphone are you using? Others will say, how do you get people to be so open or to tell stories and all that stuff? How do you get people to reveal so much? And I realized I've never said what I've done and how I've done it. And I had some time over COVID to just sit down at home instead of at the office. And I said, I need a project. And I took this on. And once I really started, I realized, Chandler, I've talked to you over the past few years about how much I wanted to write a book. I realized, Andrew, if you stop now, you're going to die feeling like a failure for not having done this. This will be a thing that you regret literally for the rest of your life. You cannot stop. And so I just kept going and struggling. And that's why I did it, because I wanted to have something that represented the work that I've done. I wanted to have something that carried on my understanding of what I've been doing over the last few years and lived beyond me.
Wow. That's awesome. And how long did it take you start to finish? And what was the toughest part of the process?
It was 8 months, roughly.
Wow. Yeah.
The toughest part of the process was, so I finally hired somebody to just check in with me every week. That made all the difference. It was an editor from Penguin. I said, Mary Sun. I said, can I work with you, Mary, every single week? I'll pay you to just get on a call with me, check in on what I've done and give me an assignment for the following week. And, you know, just make sure that I'm on the right track. And there'd be weeks when I couldn't write anything. And I felt so bad for having given up all this time and not gotten anything done. And she said, Andrew, that's common. That's what other writers have done. It's so fulfilling and so calming to hear her say other writers have done that. It's not crazy. And then to not be spinning on my own, but to have her say instead, you know, Andrew, for this next week, don't even try to write. I know you feel bad that you didn't write this week. Don't try to write. Why don't you see if you can find seven? Do you think you can find seven other interviews? I said, I could find 10 other interviews. Think you could find seven at least who would talk to you about the problems you're having? And if you go back to my Twitter timeline, you'll see that I would say something like, I have time this week. If anyone needs help, anything about interviewing, let's schedule a call. And I'd help them. And then I'd get all these ideas and go, oh yeah, that's something I knew that I didn't realize. That's an issue they had. And then I'd come back and write. And so that whole thing was 8 months of that. And then the hardest time was at one point, Chandler, I realized I'd sacrificed every part of my work just to get this done. Like things would come up and I know I wouldn't be able to write and do that thing at the same time. And I'd sacrifice it. And then I got fed up and I said, Mary, I can't go on like this. I'm sacrificing everything. I don't think we're doing this right. And she said, well, this is part of the process, the way she always does. I go, but no, I can't keep sacrificing time at work. I can't keep, like, I wasn't thinking about our investments as a family. I wasn't thinking about all those other things, you know, that were important to us. And so I said, I think I need to find a ghostwriter. And I emailed also, she helped me find a ghostwriter. And then I emailed Ryan Holiday and I said, Ryan, I'm sacrificing so much. This is my whole life and it stinks. And Ryan says, did you read my book? I said Perpetual Seller. And then I took screenshots of the stories that he told, like George Lucas literally pulling out his eyebrow hair. And I guess he gone bald in his eyebrow, if I remember right, while writing Star Wars. It was like those types of difficult stories. And I said, is this what you meant? And he said, mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Mary found me a ghostwriter. She did a chapter. It was a good chapter, but it wasn't my soul on paper. And so I said, all right, he's saying you have to suffer through this. I'll just suffer through this. I'll feel better for having done it. And then I did, and I feel really grateful. And if you look at my book, you'll see I thank Ryan for being that kind of a hard, tough love person with me.
And so it sounds like temporarily hired and worked with a ghostwriter and then said, hey, this isn't really working. And then went back to doing it yourself.
It was working, but it wasn't what I needed. And so after one chapter, which I ended up throwing out, I kept going back to the hard work and the sacrificing everything else.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement.
That's a pretty common experience and journey. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to, like, Chandler, can you just send me a ghostwriter? Like, surely you've got a good ghostwriter. And it's just, I feel like that's the common experience, right? It's like, well, hey, if I feel like I could execute on this model, heck yeah, I'd be doing it. I'd be charging a whole lot more. The business would grow faster, all that, but that's exactly why, right? It's the common experience of feeling like, hey, this isn't me and I'm going to have to rewrite all of this anyway. Therefore, why do I not just write it the first time myself? You touched on something interesting about using interviews to kind of write the book, but not, I think, in the traditional sense of like, oh, I'm going to transcribe my interviews, but more so in the sense of, let me do interviews or conversations to spark topics to then fill out the outline and then write with that. Can you explain kind of how that worked and any tips that you learned from that that would be helpful for other people who are thinking about using conversations to kind of help them write a better book?
Well, when I asked people about the problems they had, it would be issues that I didn't want to address in the book, but I realized were important. So I talked to one podcaster who said, well, now how do I get somebody to even notice this? I've been working really hard. How do I get any listeners? Or another one who was earlier in their experience than I was and didn't have guests throwing themselves at him. And so he said, how do I get more guests? How do I get guests who are leveling up? And as I answered these questions that for me are basic ABC stuff, I realized, well, that's important to them. They care about this. I'm ignoring the things that they want to know. And I should be giving it to them. And then, you know, we did have to sit back and say, me and Mary, what parts do I want to serve and what parts do I want to ignore? And anything that was temporary, like the microphone issue, I'll answer all day long, but it's a temporal issue. It's not going to last for longer than I will, right? People will have better microphones, better setups. Apple might have one in the computer in your brain in a few years. But the questions and the guidance are still important. So we did that. That helped me also just riff for a little bit. And that helped me see problems. It helped me appreciate what I needed. So I would highly recommend that.
And so it sounds like just a lesson. One of the things you said is almost taking the approach of strategies, not tactics, because the tactic will be outdated. And with this kind of independent of, this is like writing, more writing style.
For me, for my writing style, the idea that I wanted to focus on as much as possible is good conversations. Just keep coming back to how do you have meaningful conversations that are well-directed, where people reveal more about themselves than they realize. It's almost like therapy, and the audience and the interviewer learns more than they would have otherwise. And so I just kept coming back to that. Good conversations with people you value, learning things that you care about, that an audience would care about. How do you do that? How do you do that? And everything else I wanted to push away.
Cool. That's great. And that's kind of similar to how I approach stuff like this too. It's smart that you are smart and impressive that you learned that on your first book, right? Because you can write content that's tactics, and then it just becomes out like the which microphone do I get? Right. But by focusing on timeless quality conversations, which I align with, is you've got a book that will outlive you and that can be a helpful resource over a long period of time, no matter how the algorithms change or the tech changes or all that stuff, which I think is really important for as Ryan Holiday would call it, the perennial bestseller, right? A book that can sell well long term.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked about the writing of the book. Let's move into a little bit of marketing stuff. How'd you launch the book? And what were kind of top two or three things that sold the most copies?
I actually worked with a new publisher, Damn Gravity, and this was going to be their first book. And the founder, Ben, said to me, Andrew, we can use Twitter to promote. Like, that'll be our exclusive channel. We'll just work through that and we'll do it in public. And so what he started doing was saying to Twitter, he and I, and then him often alone, would write the tweets out for me about what I was writing, what we're about to publish. And we just teach the different lessons from the book and learn how to teach them on Twitter. And I didn't think that anyone would care. And people really did. The tweets started actually spread more than any of the tweets that I'd done before. So what we do is we take a lesson from the book and we teach it either in one tweet or in a set of tweets. And then we'd also say, if you're interested, the book is coming out soon, join a mailing list. And we created a brand new email list just for that. And that was the number one thing that worked, just constantly doing it. Whenever I would think about a book cover, I would internalize it and spend more time on it myself. He kept pushing to say, no, you should bring people into the book cover. And so we did a tweet storm showing all the different covers that we were thinking and ask for feedback and get input and hear why. And we got a lot of feedback. And then truthfully, I was scared of that, because what if people picked a book that once they picked it, I thought, I hated, was ugly, or the reasoning didn't jive with me. And so they did, actually. They picked a book that I thought was a cover that was fine, but I didn't like it. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to tell them that we didn't pick it and explain why, that we value their input, but this is why we're going in a different direction. And that was totally fine. And then when there was a chapter, we did that. And then we tried a bunch of things to the list in the Twitter account, things like live reading, things like more sharing of sections from the book. That kind of thing really was the heart and soul of the marketing.
Mm, so showing the process behind the scenes and all that stuff, it sounds like primarily through Twitter as the channel, and then segueing that into what we would call a pre-release list. So kind of an email list, which is maybe the first to get the book. That it sounds like that was what worked the best.
That was it. Or help also read chapters as I write in. So I would send them chapters and get some feedback on them.
Mm, cool.
The other thing that I did after the book launched was interviews. And I guess it's a little bit around the launch. And the interesting thing about a book is that people want to interview you about a book. I've had companies people weren't as eager to interview me about as the book. I've had these interviews I've done on Mixergy that people weren't as eager. There's something about a book that makes people want to ask more questions.
Yeah.
And obviously, because it's a book on interviewing, it relates to every interviewer out there. So it's really helpful. And there are more and more people now doing the types of interviews you're doing with me, and there hasn't been a book for them. And so that's been really helpful.
Cool. Nice. And then that's synergistic with the book, but then also brings more listeners to your podcast and kind of that whole ecosystem. So would you say is podcast interviews, is that the second most, would you say, in terms of driving
Twitter list sales? Podcast interviews and podcast interviews are, they don't get instant results the way a tweet might. Like, we could send a tweet, we can send an email campaign out and they'll get results. You can see it. Podcast interviews don't. You know, the other thing that we did was the publisher really got into this platform called Holloway, which is a beautiful online reading experience. You could do it on just about any device except the Kindle. And it's you can highlight it. You can share chapters that you like as a reader. You can share whole sections, stuff like that. Really amazing. We decided to create a special version of that, a special edition. And there's more revenue in that. There's a clearer sense of who's buying from that. That edition was really helpful. And oh, actually, yeah. And they're super fastidious. So they actually ended up, we had some mistakes in the publishing when we did it through the publisher in the first version. But Holloway was so good. We just took all their editing and we just turned their, like their editors into our editors for the physical and the Kindle version of the book too. They're that good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so is that the primary version of the book that you promote, or do you promote that alongside the Amazon?
Alongside the Amazon on the site, for the most part. I know that people are more comfortable buying from Amazon, so I promote Amazon, but Amazon then links back to the Holloway edition. And so even when we did like the 99-cent offer on Amazon, people would buy that for 99 cents and some number of them would come back and buy the Holloway edition, which was really good.
And so I guess, because this is the first I've heard of this platform, and I'm sure other people listening might be curious. You touched on this a little bit, but the 30-second overview of what is Holloway, why is it advantageous for authors to use, and would you recommend it or no for other authors who are thinking about using the platform?
It's a beautiful online reading experience that happens to also make it easy to share. So one of the guests that I interviewed was just, I guess, allegedly involved in some kind of, I don't know if this is right, some kind of Bitcoin crime, I guess. I don't know what I can say. I don't want to accidentally misrepresent it, but there's something that he was involved with. He made it into the news a lot. And so people were looking at it. Turns out I had written a section in the book about it. Well, if it's in the Kindle version, how do you share the chapter that you've written about how you got Ilya Liechtenstein to talk openly about something that he did that was kind of in the gray zone? You can't. You just have to copy it or write it out or something. With Holloway, you can share that and readers get to do the same thing. There's also all these highlighting, which you do have in the Kindle version. There's also all the ability to both highlight and then extract your notes. That kind of thing is helpful. But here's the way that we used it. I thought that is wonderful, but it wasn't necessarily super needed for me. What I wanted was to do what Nathan Barry taught me. He talked about how when you're selling a book, also have some upsells. There's some people who want a more intensive version of the book. And so we made the Holloway version that. So in the Holloway version, we could, for example, if I say use this technique to get somebody to reveal something, I could let people hit play and then get that technique right there and watch how I used it. In the Holloway edition, I could say you also get access to Mixergy Premium. You'll have an account made on my site, which will allow you to automatically get access to all the older interviews, even the things that are paid. So you get them for free as part of the. And so we got to do that. And I highly recommend it. Revenue-wise, books are not. They're not going to make you rich unless you're going to be like really bestseller status. But if you're trying to have enough money to buy ads and promote, I think doing something like we did with Holloway is helpful.
That's smart. That makes sense. You talked a little bit about your own podcast. I'm curious, did you use the podcast to sell books? Was it helpful? If so, how? Anything that worked well there of like your own podcast, not interviewing on other people's podcasts?
You know, I did. I probably should have done even more. I think I mentioned it a couple of times when what I should have done was talk through what the book was and say, this is it. Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, we could have done more. We did To The List. I talked a little bit about it on the podcast, but I should have done much more.
Did you do any behind this? You were showing the process. Did you do any of those Twitter behind the scenes on the podcast itself?
I should have. I think I've been so protective of the podcast and keeping it focused on just me interviewing entrepreneurs about how they built their businesses that I forget that everyone wants to know who is this person who's interviewing and what else are you doing? Yeah. And I don't think it's too late to do that. What do you think?
It's definitely not. I've thought about one of these as just a traction channel for self-publishing school in the past of almost doing like a, hey, I'll go on people's podcasts and I can interview them about their book, or as part of like a dual breakdown of like a bring in me to talk about books and then like with their book as the back. Cause I think about like, hey, how do you create valuable content for your listeners? That's helpful for them if they're thinking about doing a book, but then also that they learn about you
what you learned, all that.
I think that's a great idea. As you said that to me, I said, ooh, what I should do is just go on and talk about. And then I said, I don't want to just talk into a mic as myself. And then I said, maybe I can ask Ben, the founder of Damn Gravity, the publisher, to interview me. Maybe I like your idea of you doing it. And then also saying, and Andrew, here are a couple of things that I would do if you wanted to juice that a little bit further. And that way people, I think that's a great idea. A tour of Chandler, seriously, not even a tour. Whenever there's an author who's a podcaster who comes out with a book, say, I'll interview you about the book. Your audience should know about this stuff.
Totally. And obviously there's no pressure to do it with me, but however you do it, I think it is smart and would move books, just showing your audience behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I kind of did a 3 podcast series, which obviously is a little bit different with, cause this is the stuff we talk about. Right. But when I released published in December, first episode was what I learned, writing the second edition of my book published. I think the second episode was behind the scenes of the launch. And then the third episode was kind of how it went, what worked well, what didn't work, all that stuff. So it was a 3 episode series that showed the behind the scenes. It was valuable content. It was interesting. But also obviously for those 3 weeks, the book is the primary call to action. And it's, hey, here's what you can do to support this week, et cetera, which you can totally do at any point. And I talk about this in it's chapter, you got the digital version. Look at chapter 21 in the new book. It's I've launched, now what? It talks about the concept of a relaunch, which is, I think, might be interesting here. And that actually segues into something I wanted to ask you about, which is the audiobook. I noticed on the page there's not one. Was that intentional? Are you doing it and it's not out yet? Did you intentionally not do the audiobook? What are your thoughts, or what's kind of the strategy there?
We're thinking about doing it and then making it the next launch. So as a reason to promote.
Really smart. Yeah.
Yeah. I truthfully just wanted to get that book out there. So many times over the years that I tried to write and publish a book and something happened. I said, I'm not going to let anything happen right now. I'm not going to throw up excuses for myself. I'm not going to throw up barriers. I'm just going to get it out. And so I did that.
Cool. Oh man. I would highly, 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 especially as a podcaster.
Yeah.
All of the people that listen to what you do are used to listen there. I mean,
do you know a good production company here in Austin that I can, I just want to give it to them and say, you guide me. I'm going to be the guy who does nothing but read and the full new. What does it cost to do a book like that?
Yeah, great question. So there's a place, it's called Montop Studios. I think it's the name. I can introduce you to them here in Austin, Texas. That's where I did it. It's somewhat of a primitive studio. There's a vocal booth. You hop in there. I'm forgetting how much we paid. My guess is it was probably $1,000 So I paid him for the studio time, and then he sent off the stuff to. There's a guy we work with, Steve. He runs Audiobook Masters. He's the husband of a woman that used to work at Self Publishing School. And so he does a lot of our audiobook mastering stuff. And so that was the 2-part approach, which is when in the studio.
You're talking about the whole thing under $5,000, you get an audiobook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought it would be $20,000, $25,000. No. Under $5,000, you get a studio. And is there a producer who sits there and says, Andrew, do it again? You're going too fast. Andrew, slow down.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Yeah. How many days did it take you to record?
For me, it went, it was basically 2 days. I think I did a half day on a Friday and I did a long day on a Saturday. Like I want to say 8 to noon on Friday. And then I went 7 to 3 on Saturday. That was a 63,000 word book. And that's with like not many breaks, like just going. And that was this. So I think for most people it would take longer than that, but you're used to doing interviews and stuff. You go pretty quick.
Dude, one of the things I admire about you is you're always such a happy, like you're comfortable with yourself, but at the same time, you're like a go machine, you know? Like we have friends who you can see they can't sit still. They're always shaking because they can't sit still. And I understand how they're go machines, but you can sit still. You can be happy in the moment. And at the same time, no, you're going to get it done. If it could get done in a day and a half, you're going to get it done in a day and a half. If you can do, a 2-hour book in 90 minutes of recording, you'll find a way. I just admire the hell out of that.
I appreciate that. Man, I would highly recommend it. I think it's, we always talk to people like you're going to maximize your royalties because your royalty rates are going to be higher on audiobook. There's also the Audible bounty, which is when people download your book and do a trial of Audible is like the first book, you get $50, $7,500. But then not to mention, it's just your podcast listeners will buy the audiobook. One thing we've done just riffing on this, and I got a couple of final questions we'll wrap up, is just making it easy for people to purchase the audiobook from podcast interviews. So we just a short link. I think it's publishedbook.com/audible. Mm-hmm. And that goes directly to the audiobook credit thing, where it's like if they don't they can either buy it or they can do the, and so then that, it's just a flow of royalties.
Yeah.
It also is easy for people to segue. So man, I'd do that right off the podcast. I think you'd move a lot of books.
Oh, good. I was looking for advice like that.
Yeah. Hey, so last couple questions here. You kind of touched on this earlier. This was on my docket to ask about, which was what made you decide to go with Damn Gravity, the publishing company? Did you consider other options, traditional self-publishing? What was kind of the decision-making criteria there?
I considered traditional. And since Mary worked at Penguin, I thought she could help me find a publisher. And then as we talked through the process, I realized this is another potential obstacle. I don't want anything to happen to stop this. There's, you know what? I hear a lot of people say that they wanted to start a podcast and they even will have recorded 5 episodes and then they don't publish for a few months because they want to get 10 episodes and then they don't publish for 2 months and they feel guilty for the people they recorded with 2 months ago and then they never publish and then they feel super guilty and it doesn't happen. I've seen that in podcasting a lot. And I thought, oh, you should just do it as quickly as possible. I'd seen myself go through it with writing a book. It's got to be just right here and it's got to be this way there and I have to hit this mark there. And I said, Andrew, no more obstacles, whatever it takes. And so I would have published on my own, hired an editor. Mary could have introduced me to someone who could have done it. And then I said, I could use a little bit of help, some support thinking this through, somebody who's going to take this off my shoulders so I can focus on work and other things. And it helped that we were kind of looking at a self-publishing model in the sense that this was his first book and kind of looking at a situation where the publisher took on some of the promotion for me, some of the design work, some of the guidance, and that helped. It was a nice merger of the two.
Nice.
But here's what I can't do
using
this way, because I'm working with a publisher. When you talked about Hal walking around with a bunch of his books, he can do that. He doesn't have to, he just has to call the printer and say, print off 20,000 books or whatever he wants to keep in his car. For me, I end up having to buy my own book, you know? And so it's, or pay the publisher for that. And so there are issues and opportunities with both, but I'm happy with the direction I went.
Cool. Nice. That's helpful. Thanks for sharing that. Knowing what you know now, Andrew, What would be your advice to the Andrew of however long ago it was before you wrote this book and all the other Andrews out there that are thinking about writing and publishing their first book?
I would have asked for help. I think in my mind, I thought that writing a book meant closing myself off from the world and distractions and sitting down and working. And whenever I tried that, what I ended up doing was getting fat. I would just sit and eat. Thankfully, I'm a long distance runner, so I didn't get fat, but I did. I would sit and eat. I would sit down and go, and then, or I would do this other stuff that didn't matter. And the vision that I had of a writer being someone who sits in a Parisian cafe or in a cabin in the middle of nowhere and getting productive because all the life distractions aren't there, that didn't work. Life distractions were away in COVID. I could have sat and done it, but I needed somebody to check in with me. I needed somebody to say, it's okay if you're not doing it this week. There's a different direction. Here's another approach. And to make it less precious, you know, less like, Andrew, I love books. I love books. I could screw around with a lot of things, but books are so important to me. I don't want to get it wrong, but by making it so important, I feel like I was making it further out and harder to reach.
Wow. That's great. Thanks for sharing that. What would be, last question, where can people go to buy the book, to grab a copy, to find out more about what you're up to at Mixergy, all that good stuff?
you want to buy the book or even just see what the Holloway edition looks like or how we're promoting it in two different ways, go to stopaskingquestions.co. If you want to buy the book, it's available in just about all the bookstores. And then if you want to see the way that I do interviews, just look for Mixergy or Andrew Warner in your podcast app, and you'll probably see me being what seems like a jerk to the guests, but they like it.
You're very nice to me back in our interview. I think it was June 2020. So you guys can check out that episode. And then stopaskingquestions.co. Go get the book. Check out the Holloway edition. That's really interesting. I'm going to check that out. Andrew, you're the man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help the podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.